Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for being here with us, O Lord. Thank you for your lovely presence. And you make the difference, O Lord. It's only you. We want to worship you and glorify you this morning. We want to hear your word. We want to obey it. We want to repent. We want to take courage. We want to be encouraged. Lord, speak to us this morning. Share your heart with us, O Lord, as you have always done through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about two different churches today from the book of Revelation, the Church of Sardis and the Church of Philadelphia. I've titled my sermon, A Church in Coma and a Church of Courage. If you have your Bibles with you, just keep track of the passages that I might use, so you can follow it and know that I'm preaching from the Bible. Sometimes what we do is we listen to a sermon, but we don't keep track with our Bibles. We just assume the preacher is preaching the Word of God. But it's always good to read your Bibles and keep track of what I'm saying. And if you have any questions, we can talk about it later. Thank you. I want to give you a bit of history of Sardis, the Church of Sardis, the historical background of the Church of Sardis. This is the first church I want to talk about, and this church is a church in coma. Alright? The historical background of this church is, it is named after a semi-precious stone called Sardius. It's a soft stone, but it's a beautiful stone. So, Sardis did not have many enemies within or without. It was naturally well protected. It was a well protected, well placed city. Apparently, from my readings, the city was in between mountains. Alright? So if you want to attack the city, you have to climb mountains. So people had great difficulty attacking the city. But then there was no aeroplanes then, so there was no jets, so they couldn't come from the top. So it was well placed and well protected, and the people at Sardis were very, very confident that no enemy can attack them. And even within the city, there was a lot of peace, and there was no war. So people were naturally confident of that, living in that city. Sardis was one of the richest and prosperous city in Asia Minor because of the gold found in one of its rivers called Patroclus. Alright, they found gold in that river, and I don't know whether this is a myth. They said that the first gold coin was actually minted in that city. And it had a fantastic wool trade. So it had good mining, it had gold, and it had wool trade. Alright, it was like a commercial city, and it was a very prosperous place to be. It also had a famous and splendid temple dedicated to the goddess Cybele. Cybele is like a counterpart of the goddess Artemis, which you will read in, if you've read the Bible, it's in Ephesus. One of the notable things about the festival of Cybele or Artemis is the orgies that take place. The priests, the prostitution that takes place as part of this religious ritual of worshipping Cybele. The people of Sardis were known for pleasure and luxury loving. Oh, they loved a good feast. And nearly like every week they had this worship of Cybele, so they had a good feast of eating and drinking and all kind of orgies. And the last one is, the so-called impregnable city was actually destroyed by Tamerlane and was never rebuilt. And presently the city, Sardis doesn't exist anymore. Apparently they are just wild animals roaming that site, and there are few wild plants growing in that place where the city used to be. Now this is the word of Jesus to the church in Sardis. He says, wake up. Wake up. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. The church here had a problem. Because of its prosperity and the life that it had everything. It was peace, there was peace in it. It had material wealth. This church slowly slipped into a coma. It became complacent. It went into a spiritual coma, and the stench of death reached God. Christ comes to the city and says, to the church and says, "Wake up. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen what remains, and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." The first call for the church in Sardis is, wake up. You're dying. If you don't wake up, judgment will come. The second call is, remember what you have received. It's something similar to the one of the other cities where it says, you've left your first love. Remember what you have received and heard. Go back to your first love. Remember what the message of the gospel. Remember what I've taught you. Come back to the first love. It is very difficult to remember when we do not listen. When we are in a coma. When someone is asleep, you don't sit beside the person and talk serious issues, isn't it? This person is sleeping and you'll be talking to the person, and when the person gets up, you say, did you hear what I said to you? And the person definitely will say, I was sleeping, or a person in coma. It's very difficult for them. You don't sit by a bedside of a person in coma and talk. They will not know what you're talking about because they're in a coma. But this church was also in a coma. So God, Christ, has to come, give it a shake and say, wake up. I want to talk to you. And what did he say? Remember what you have received and heard. But how can you receive and hear if you have not heard it properly in the first place? If you do not listen to the word of God in the first place? If you just think you have heard, but you did not really hear, then how can you do the work that Christ has sent you to do? Hearing is not just giving your ears to the words. It is much more than that. I want to quote to you from a book, People's Skills, about listening. I think it's very important to listen correctly before we do. It says here, an extensive test was done by one of the University of Minnesota in relation to people listening, and this is what they found. This extensive test led to this general conclusion: immediately after the average person has listened to someone talk, he remembers only about half what he has heard, no matter how carefully he thought he was listening. What happens as time passes? Our own testing shows that we tend to forget from one half to one third within 8 hours. Within 8 hours of listening, we have lost most of what we heard. And this church has slipped into a coma. They have not been listening. They were dying. So within 8 hours of me preaching this sermon, you'll go back and say, who's the guy who preached this morning? I hope you don't do that. But then Jesus goes on to say, there are few unsoiled ones they will walk with him, for they are worthy. And only those who overcome will be worthy. Not those who just listen. Not those who just say, oh, I think I've listened. I think I know what God said to me. I think I know what the Bible is saying to me. But then don't do it. Because they have not listened correctly to what Jesus has said. Or listen passionately to what Jesus has said. And these few are worthy. And they will be kept by the Lord. And they will walk with him, the Bible says. We'll go to the next city. The next city. Philadelphia. The city was given the name on honor of a king who showed exceptional loyalty to his brother, Philadelphia. Brotherly love. All right, most of you know this. It began as a small and poverty-stricken city and became an important and wealthy center. It started small, it was poor, and then it began to grow and grow and grow. It often suffered violent earthquakes, and its citizens were heavily taxed to rebuild the city. So they build a city. 2 months later, city is gone, devastated by earthquake. They build it again. And then the citizens have to pay to build the city. So they were heavily taxed. They were already poor and they were heavily taxed to rebuild the city. Many Jews lived there, and it had one of the largest Jewish synagogues in Asia Minor. But it was built in a Greek style with lots of images. As you all know, a Jewish synagogue is not supposed to have any sorts of images. A Jewish temple is not supposed to have any sorts of images. But because it was built in a Greek style, they built it with images, which actually the Jewish religion forbids, Judaism forbids. The Turks call it Alasher, or the city of God, or the beautiful city. Now, this is the city they're talking about, this small, poverty-stricken, earthquake-stricken city is now called by the Turks Alasher, the city of God, or beautiful city. Philadelphia is still in existence, a small Christian town in modern Turkey. A portion of a stone church wall with pillar still stands in modern Philadelphia. The word of Christ to this church. Christ says, I am the holy and true, and hold the key of David. And what he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. He acknowledges them, saying, I know your deeds. It's not about your words. It's not about remembering, but I know your deeds. You have showed not by word, but by your deeds, that you have kept my word and have not denied my name. The church was poor and struggling, but it did not deny Christ. It showed by its deeds the love for God, the love for Christ. It heard, it listened carefully, it did not forget, it remembered, it lived within the communion and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and continuously lived a life of courage and faithfulness. The promise, the imagery here is a large and a powerful synagogue. It's a synagogue of Satan, because it has a large, as we just saw, it had a large Jewish synagogue. A large synagogue of Satan against this small, frail church. But this is the promise to that church that Jesus Christ gives. He says, they, the synagogue of Satan, will fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. He will bring this large synagogue of Satan within city on its feet, on its knees, sorry, and to acknowledge this poor, small church that they belong to God. And he says, I'll keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world. And encouragement is that, hold on to what you have. I am coming soon. Continue to be faithful and true. Hold on to the word that you have received, the engrafted word which will be able to save you. Hold on to the scriptures. Hold on to the teaching of Christ. Hold on to the word of God. Because I am coming soon. Continue to be faithful. I know the city is being destroyed again and again, but continue to be faithful. I know the satanic synagogue is big and strong, but continue to be faithful, for I will overcome. And Jesus says, him who overcomes, I will make the pillar in the temple of my God, in contrast to the shaky nature of the city itself. He said, I will make you strong and permanent, and you will not be destroyed. Look at these two churches today. One, rich and sleepy and in constant coma, listening, not doing, not listening carefully, not hearing and not doing. The other, poor and faithful. One church had gradually fell into spiritual coma. Gradually. That's a very important word for us this morning. Satan is not going to just grab you and take you away from your Christian life. He's not going to tempt you with all kind of temptation at one go. In Buddhism, when when Buddha was seeking enlightenment, the evil one came and showed him all kind of good things, and said, "Okay, I'll give you all this." He didn't say give you all this. That's what the Satan said to Christ. But he just showed him everything and said, "Okay, you can follow me. If you follow me, you will have all these things, or something like that." Or try to break his meditation. But he just focused on his meditation, and then all these things went away. It did not happen like that. The church gradually fell into a spiritual coma. Gradually lost its life. Gradually it died. And gradually, millions and millions of people, if I may say, has been sucked into a philosophy that mixes Christianity with all kind of other religions. Gradually, the church allowed more and more corruption into its church. Gradually, the church allowed more and more sin and immorality. What happens when all this comes in? You die. You die. One church of one of its judgment, swift and silent, will come upon the thief, like a thief in the night. The other, public glorification before God and man. These are some of the questions I want to ask you this morning. Are we living on our past reputation, but not contributing nothing presently to the kingdom of God? Have you become so comfortable and complacent with the world that you have gradually lost your zeal for Christ? Or through life's hardship have kept your focus on Christ? Buddhism was just about seeking, meditating, and reaching God. And when Buddha died, he said, "Don't look at me for salvation. Please find your own salvation," and went off. Yet today, thousands of people still follow the religion, thinking that Buddha will save them. Or many Christians mixing Buddhist philosophy with Christian philosophy, thinking both are, can work together, both can be combined. Like the people at Sardis here, can combine the worship of Sibyl with the worship of the true and living God, can enjoy immorality and yet take part in the communion of the Lord. But all what happened was they died. That's all it happened. They died. Today, how's your Christian life? Are you mixing philosophies? Are you mixing immorality and Christ's righteousness? Are you living a life of lie? If you are living a life of lie, you will die. You will go to sleep. And judgment will come like a thief in the night from the Lord Jesus. Or are you like the church in Philadelphia? Keep your faith. Though you're poor and small and struggle, that the Lord will keep you. The Lord will strengthen you. He'll be with you. And He will make you a pillar in His church. The city of Sardis has long passed into oblivion. It has nothing there. It is inhabited by wild animals and has been abandoned. The city of Philadelphia still exists as a Christian city. The church, which was small and poor, still exists in modern Turkey. The rich and prosperous church is no more. The faithful church still stands. The immoral church has been wiped out. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is a warning to us. We cannot serve God and Mammon. We cannot serve Buddha and Jesus Christ. We cannot serve a New Age religion and Jesus Christ. We cannot serve astrology and Jesus Christ. We cannot serve palmistry and Jesus Christ. We cannot serve horoscope and Jesus Christ. Because the church at Sardis did the same thing, involved themselves in the worship of Cybele, and brought destruction. Our God is a jealous God. You shall love Him with all your hearts, mind, body, soul, and Him only shall thou serve, the Bible says. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. He's a jealous God. Whom do you serve today? Are you in a spiritual coma? Maybe we need to listen and wake up. Are you struggling in your faith, but have kept your faith in Christ Jesus, though you have been hit by waves and waves of tribulation and trial? He says to you, be of good cheer, I am with you. I will uphold you. I will open doors for you that no man can shut, and shut doors for you that no man can open. And you will be a pillar. I will make you strong. You will be a pillar in My temple. He encourages you this morning. And He calls for repentance too, to those of us who fall away. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself first. I ask myself, where am I at, Lord? Have I become complacent? And I do think sometimes I become complacent. I do think because everything is good for me now. Got a job, got a family, doing well. I always ask this question. I sit down at night when my wife and children are asleep. I ask myself, what am I doing for You, Lord? Where am I at? Please tell me. Speak to me. Am I doing enough for You? Or I'm just being a lazy Christian? I search myself first. Because I do not want Christ to come as a thief in the night and find me in a coma. Ask yourself this question. Where are you at? Search your hearts. Wake up that Jesus may commune with you again. Let us pray.